This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentin O'Brien, alias Scoochie or Scrooge, and it's a pleasure to be your host on Guardian Radio. This show is named Inside the Inner City. It's been on airwaves for the last 7 years on Guardian Radio. I think we have been doing extremely well. I think we have been educating the general public, and I think we have been very informative on the dwellings of the happenings of the country when it comes to politics, when it comes to how we can solve a lot of problems in the community, when it comes to poverty, crime, and housing, and how we can bring in employment to the community. Yes, so it's just a pleasure having the opportunity to be prepared on a Friday and just come out and be myself and see if I can bring some type of education, enjoyment, talk about some history, and make a conversation where we can make some changes in the country. Yes, this show, Inside the NC, has been a Guardian Radio for 7 years. I really want to thank the management staff and the owners of Guardian Radio for giving me the opportunity and not holding me back, you know, from speaking from my heart, from my experiences. They have never told me once that I cannot say this or say that, so I'm very thankful for them. I'm also very thankful for them. I remember a few years back, I got in a situation where I was brought before the court, charged with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, and two other charges. And this was like my second year on Guardian Radio, and it got to the management staff, and you know, like, once you have a case, a criminal case before the court, you normally would be put on leave. And Guardian Radio, general manager Dwight Scron and crew, you know, he gave me a call and he asked me, what's the situation is? This doesn't look good. And I gave him my side of the story. And I told him, said, I'm innocent, despite how it seems to mind the charges. I said, when I go before the magistrate and it's time for me to give my evidence to represent myself, everything is going to be okay. And, you know, even though that is true, you know, you still got to supposed to go and leave. And Dwight told me, said, Lord, I believe you, and the management believe you, and everyone here believe in you, and we take what you say. And as you can see, the case went on for about a year, and I was able to overcome it. You would see where the judge apologized to me. You'd see where she made some statements towards the Royal Bahamas Police Force on how they handled in citizens who are trying to do good. So you would see, you know, so that's why I'm very thankful to the management and Guardian Radio, and I'm very loyal to Guardian Radio for me being open. You know, they will let me be open, you know, whether it comes to politics or any political party, anything I'm talking about, as long as I'm not insulting nobody or talking nobody, you know, they are letting me be. So I'm very grateful. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us at 422-GR96. Today's topic is going to be, like last week I told you, we would talk about on the hook for officers' attack. Committees looking at ways to stop government liabilities for brutality. and they're talking about civilians and citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are reporting matters to the complaints unit, and the matter is put before a tribunal, which decides if the officers were in the right or wrong. And there are some settlements that the former administration did not put in the budget. But taking a look at it, it seems to me the government has millions of dollars to pay out to civilians. And now the committee, you know, is looking on ways to stop government liabilities. And we want to talk a little about that and what that means for us as citizens. Yeah, but before we get into that, let me just talk about this real quick. I would like to just talk about the garbage collections, the timing. You know, is it, how should I put it? Is the timing appropriate? Is it too slow or takes too long or is fast enough? I just want to talk about that a little bit because this affects all of us. This caused garbage to build up in the community, not even in the inner city community. I'm talking about Nassau at large. If you even look at the fish fry, you'd see sometimes it's overfilled. You know, after they have a good Friday or a good Saturday, you know, they have abundance of people. So there's a lot of conch shells thrown out, a lot of boxes and et cetera. And then it overflows and then sometimes it stays there longer than expected. And I just say in reference to this also, but the inner city community, you know, for the past few years, I've been looking at the way how they collect the garbage. And it's not all the fault on the garbage collection company. I think what has happened is when I look at it, right, I think we need more garbage trucks in the country, first of all. I hope the minister responsible for this department will take a look at how we can get some sustainable garbage trucks for the country, because as it stands now, I'm taking count on the rounds that the garbage truck makes on a regular basis. And it seems to me, I could be wrong, it seems to me like the garbage truck is only making like 3 times a week is be able to make out a month, like to come around and collect the garbage. You know, I could be wrong, it could be 5 or 6, but it seems to me like they're overworked. There's not enough garbage truck to sustain the population of the country. So we need to find a way on how we're going to get more garbage truck. I hope the minister is responsible for this, because this is a very serious problem. If you look around Nassau, New Providence, you would see where the garbage is overfilling in the bins. And dogs are running loose. This creates rats. This creates roach haven. This creates a lot of diseases, especially with this dangerous COVID-19 now plaguing us. So, you know, we really need to take care of our country. So I hope the minister and the government, if they're listening, you know, we can't be on you guys, because right now, you know, you're dealing with a real serious bag bill of close to, what, $11 billion. So, you know, it's going to be a little tough for us as citizens. So we got to just hope, you know, that eventually we will get the country stable and then there will be some job opportunities open for us as citizens. But as it stands now, you just got to do your best, pray to God, do your best, what you can to make ends meet, you know. So, yeah, we need more garbage trucks in the country, you know, looking at it, because it creates a problem. I noticed that there are apartment buildings in the community, and I know that the garbage trucks are not responsible to remove garbage that are in apartment buildings. I think they just passed a law a few years ago. So now what has happened is the garbage bins overflow in the apartments that are in the community, and it bulks up, and the garbage truck does not move it in a timely fashion, or sometimes they do not move it because, like they say, it's private. So we have to find a way, even with these private apartments that are owned by Bahamian citizens who are leasing them and renting them to Bahamian people, we need to find a way on how we could get the garbage removed in a timely fashion, especially in the city communities, and especially to the homes in the streets, because like I said, you know, we really, really need more garbage trucks. You know, we really need more garbage trucks. That's the bottom line. And we need to find a way on how we can get the landlords who have these apartment buildings to really, really find a way on how they can remove the garbage on a timely basis. You know, I know it's going to be difficult. I know things are tough, but mind you, we have to get rid of this garbage. This is causing and creating serious problems. The overfill causes more problem because when it overfills, you know, the dog yard one way, the wind blows it the other way, and then you just clean up the community. But then again, it overfills, so it makes it look like we don't want to clean up the community. But the build-up and remove the trash and put it somewhere and expecting the garbage truck to come and move it in a timely fashion is not happening right now in a timely fashion. I don't want to complain about it. I'm just putting it out there. So I hope the minister or anyone in government who's listening, please find ways on how we could get some new brown garbage trucks in Nassau, New Providence. Because right now, I'm just talking for me. I feel right now, an area like the Bain and Grandstand community need at least about 6 to 8 garbage trucks alone. You know, if we want to say every 2 days we're going to remove the trash. And this way we can maintain it because we know the garbage truck is going to be on a timely basis on the schedule. So we need also updates from the department stating when the garbage truck is going to come to the community. So we have to be more modern. So I'm just saying that if you are sending the garbage truck to Angleston, a lot of people have radio, a lot of people have Facebook. So that department puts out the garbage truck would be in Angleston at 7 a.m. and it would stop being in the area at 2 p.m. from Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We would be in the area to remove the garbage. So we need things like that. We need updates now, you know, when this garbage truck is going to be in the community. So I just wanted to say that we need to be more creative. So if I'm on Facebook, I see it. I know that I have a pile of trash in the yard. Instead of me just piling it up there, I could say I'm going to wait till Tuesday. I'm going to wait till Tuesday, and then I'm going to put it there because I know that guaranteed the garbage truck is going to come in this part of the area. Okay, I just want to say that. And I want to say thanks to everyone who listened to the show. Now, let's go with this, yeah. Okay. Whew. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start with this. Committee looking at ways to stop government liabilities for brutality. Let me read. A cabinet subcommittee will recommend how the government can stop incurring liabilities from court cases involving brutality from uniformed officers, with taxpayers presently on the hook for millions in damages and costs. So that means some of the victims got damages, like the young man who got his teeth knocked out from an officer. Okay, and he was awarded close to $100,000. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Mr. Ramings, Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister, said that, what's this now? Hold on. I think I read the wrong thing. But anyway, the liabilities account for the physical report says close to $13 million in liabilities from court judgments. He said the Davis administration is very concerned about the mounting legal expenses. Right, this is the right people. The Office of the Attorney General, he said, has undertaken an exercise to identify categories where we are seeing material and instances recurring damages against the government, and to propose a way forward and a strategy aimed at minimizing these instances. Let me go to page 5. I hope I can find it. You know, I can't see too good. I could read, but I can't see too good. I got to get my glasses. Next year, I got to get a couple of dollars and I got to get my glasses. Where is page 5? Let me see. Okay, page 7. All right, page 5, yeah. All right. Okay. One example of this is litigating involving brutality by uniformed officers. This is a grouping where we see mutual liabilities from the government in legal judgments and awards. Cabinet, let me see, recognizes this issue, has appointed a joint committee of ministers to review the issue and in instances encouraged with the staff association of these breaches of law enforcement, branches of law enforcement, to reach a mutual solution and recommendation on the issue. We will do this with our grouping where we will see judgment and awards against the government. At this point, we cannot guarantee a liability amount attributed to cases under the former administration, only to say the liability is significant. Mr. Rumming said the cabinet subcommittee will include Attorney General Ryan Pinder, Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe, and Minister of Immigration Keith Bell. Mr. Monroe has spoken about needing to replace the state's exposure to liability from court cases, judgment involving law enforcement officers. Last year, by the Supreme Court, awarded $82,856 in damages and costs to Pedro Morley, after an officer punched him in his mouth, damaging 8 of his teeth. Early this year, the Supreme Court awarded another man, Taro Rule, more than $163,000 in damages after an officer punched out his teeth when he questioned him about his arrest in 2015. A number of judgments are being made against the government because of matters involving, immigration matters also. In August, the court appeal said Kenyan national Douglas Nijin must receive $750,000. Mr. Nijin was unlawfully detained at the Carmichael Road Detention Center for nearly 7 years. He received damages for false imprisonment, assault, battery, aggravated damages, explanatory damages, constitutional damages, and special damages. Yeah, I know him. He, the same gentleman, yeah, this, what his name is again? That's my boy, Douglas. I used to live around in Grunston in the early 90s for many years. I just saw him about 6 months ago, and he was happy that he got his judgment. He was living upstairs in the apartment building with the Seymours. You know, they were the first set of Africans, real Africans living in our community. And he got locked up while he was living in our community. And he had his papers and documents, but no one would listen. They wouldn't listen to nobody. The same one year with the $750,000. Yeah, he used to live right around by us in Grandson, live right upstairs where we played basketball on McPherson Park, right upstairs there with the Seymours. So, yes, so this costed millions. And you know who's paying for this? Listen who's paying for this. When the police go there, let me just make this professional. I don't want to cost divide. Divide is something that I'm not a part of. I will never try to divide. I try to explain and have a conversation where we could bring it 50-50 so we could have a dialogue. All right? First of all, there are many officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who I respect highly, who I know are real professionals, you know, from the very top. From Ashton Greenslade, he is the third in charge now of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and BK Barnaby Jr., I think he's a superintendent. Cash, assistant commissioner of police. Cash is my good friend. And I have many other officers who are seniors, inspectors, sergeants, who I know over the years, who we talk on a regular basis, and I highly respect us, real professionals who do their job with due diligence. And, you know, they don't know how to use their power and abuse their powers. But on the other hand, we have some who forget that we are behemoths, forget that their job is to protect and serve. Some of them use the badge as a way to oppress. You know, but when who they're oppressing, you're oppressing the next brother. You have the power to lock up somebody, you know. You have the power to take someone's life. You have the power not to lock up somebody, even if somebody doing something illegal, you know, just as well as an officer, you know, would catch you with a little gram or 2 gram of weed or 2-3 half bite, you know. And if he pulls you on the side, and he say, hey, you got anything on you? Now, sometimes you can't trust it. So you have to use your instinct and hope that it is a real officer. Hey, you got anything on you? You better let me know now if you get anything on you. You know, if it's a legend or two, let me know. Because if I search you and I find it and you ain't telling me on you, I can lock you up. So sometimes you got to say, man, chief, no disrespect. Yes, sir, I have a legend or two. So some officers would give me it, take it. Put your hand on top of the patrol car, run your name to your computer. When they run your name to your computer, well, he's not wanted. You only have a traffic ticket. So the officers say to them, you know, today is your lucky day. Even though the marijuana is against the law, but he don't want to waste the court time, but he's being a judge during the execution. Is this his job to let somebody go if they're doing something illegal? Yes, it's his job. Because he understands the situation. He understands that this is no harm for this guy to have a drink. But he knows it'd be a disservice to him if he let this guy go and this guy has an old standing warrant. You know, old standing warrant, not a traffic ticket. But old standing warrant, like attempted murder, rape, or armed robbery, he wouldn't let him go. He would say, boss, sorry, unless the case is before the court. But he said, boss, I'd have to lock you up. But if you were someone who he checks, finds your name, run your name to the computer, he not want it, he say, next time be careful. And carry hip on, you know, like that. Now, I just want to talk about that issue on Facebook, and it's just as my putting it together. This ain't actually what happened, but I just putting it together so we could have persons call and comment after I finish comment. So there was something circulating on Facebook where a young lady, you know, was walking somewhere in Nassau, New Providence with a boyfriend, and they were approached by some uniform officers who approached the young lady, and from what we can see, we only saw this part, so we don't know what happened before we saw the video, because there could have been some exchange of words before the video get the part where we see the officer roughing up the girl and saying, give me this, and then telling the next officer to give him the cuff and et cetera. So we see that part. So we see the officer got his hand, two hands on the female, and her hands is on the side, and he is aggressively holding her by her neck. Now, we see in that part. Now, I just talking. Now, in no instance if the person is not a threat for an officer to behave in type of manner. In fact, he can de-escalate the matter because listening to some of the Facebook messages and comments, it seems that they were passing on a boyfriend was passing on. There was a commotion with the officers probably searching on somebody and they had their phone in their hand and they were passing and then officers might have thought they record them or they could record the officers and then, you know, officers go, I didn't say this would happen, but this, you know, officers, they don't put the camera here, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, us as behaving, you know, we go say something. You know, the lady might say something like, this is my phone and I could do what I want to. And the commissioner of police say, you can't stop me from recording nobody because it's not against the law, so you can't do me none, you know. And then in his response, he agitated because he feel that he is the law and that no one should talk to him. And this girl, he had no right to speak to him. And he boom rushed her. And then she started to say something, get agitated, you know. Mind you, start cursing. Then this lead to the next thing. The officer get more aggressive. Then he get his partner. Now, this is a female. There could be three officers there. They're heavily armed. The lady is no threat. There's no reason to take your hands and put on the lady, regardless of what she's saying, because you're a professional officer. She has no gun. She has no knife. Only you, your partners, and the civilians. And you are in fully control. So de-escalating means that you have to say to yourself, this is a female. Yes, she said something to me, but you agitated her voice. You can say, ma'am, excuse me, good day. I'm the police, okay? I'm asking you nicely, calm your voice, okay? And let's see how we could resolve this matter. You know, because if she says something to him and he gets agitated and he goes at her, then she's going to say something. And then he's going to rough her up. And then our society right now is a violent society. We have to admit it. The police are violent, right? Here's why the police are violent. We just had the former commissioner of police stated that the recent Junkanoo event we had at that particular time when he was commissioner of police, there were incidents similar to what we're seeing with this young lady. We saw a footage where some young boys was in front of bank of the Bahamas on Shirley Street. Now, I don't say the young guys them was not involved in no illegal activity. Probably had a little gang, little fight or whatever. But we saw where police officers were lining this young man up and whopping him in Billy. Okay? You know? And we hear the complaint from the young man. And I think he filed a complaint against the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And when you file a complaint against the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you're filing a complaint against the Commissioner of Police. Okay? So there are instances where we have this problem. This problem exists. Okay? And the sad part about it, we don't know, our officers don't know how to de-escalate the situation. See, when you're in charge, you don't have to be in charge by being abusive or being violent. Violence leads to violence. Even though you get the gun, that lady still is going to say something to you. You know why? Because she have an instinct inside of her to protect herself. That don't mean you could beat her, but she still hit you. You understand? Because that's her instinct. That's each and every one of us have that instinct. Okay? So that's a reaction. So as officers, you have to learn how to de-escalate the situation. All right? And that's why we have a lot of these lawsuits now against the government. And who? Guess who's going to pay? Me and you. The Bahamian taxpayers. Another dime is coming out. Those officers' salary would cost millions and millions of dollars in liability towards their brothers and sisters in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We pay for that, the taxpayers. Huh? So it make any sense? What is the punishment for the officers? You know? The officers themselves should be held accountable if you want to define ways. If the ministry wants to find ways to stop the lawsuits, then you need to teach officers and show them that you have already cost us $13 million in your briefing. And if an officer is not going to do his job due diligence, then this money is coming out of your check, that officer check. Yes, if he make a lawsuit and, if he make the commissioner beliefs, which represents the government, because the taxpayers' money is going to have to pay it. If he go over there and he breaks the law by knocking out someone's teeth, right? He should be held responsible, because why the taxpayers should pay it in our money? Let him pay it. Yes, let him pay it. Then we'd see this brutality stop in the country, because now you're going to be held responsible, because it seems to me, and you're listening to the commissioner, the police. It seems to me that this $12 or $13 million liability this year is not ringing no bell to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I don't blame no Bahamian that goes over there and press charges against rogue officers. And let me tell you something. I had a personal many experience, and I saying I are all right in all of my experiences. I said I buck officers like cash them, who I never had a problem with. It's yes sir, no sir. When I see certain officers ashing green sir, green slate, yes sir, no sir. You know why? Because they're respectful officers. They never put their hands on me. I had some rogue officers who put their hand on me, who I had to fight back in police station. Anyone know me? I used to fight in the station. My mode ain't hard on the streets. My mode hard in the station too. You know, police could put their hand on me in the station. Not me, not Valentino Brown, not me. I was a guy on the streets. So I telling you this. I wasn't just rough on the streets. I was rough when I was in the station. When I didn't see what happened in the station, talking about this girl and this gentleman, yeah? The tense, what I see happen to Bahamians over my course, you know, or my silver bracelet. I had some of the prettiest silver bracelets, you know. Prettiest. You know, they used to call me in CID. That was the Criminal Investigation Department. They used to call me once a week, man. Because every week, I always lock up in CID. All right? And the mistreatment that I saw our citizen get in the station would only make you cry. That's why I was so rough, because what happened to them was not going to happen to me. I make sure I make myself rough and tough. So what goes on in the station? Yeah, good officers, listen to me. I don't want to be disrespectful, but the liability speaks for itself, all right? These court fines speak for itself, so there has to be a problem. If there ain't no problem, then why we have all these people filing a complaint against the Commissioner of Police and winning their complaints? And the former government, which was the Free National Movement government, they ain't even had the audacity to put in the budget to let us know that there's close to $13 million out there in liabilities against the Royal Bahamas Police Force and against the Immigration Department, which is all government, and the taxpayers got to pay it. Listen to me. What goes on in those stations? Behind closed door? Ain't right. We don't need to be treating our brothers and sisters like that. We don't have to be like the other countries in the world. You know, we 21/7. 700 islands, 700 keys. We in the greatest place in the world. Why we got to be against one another? Why all this? The abuse that goes on in the police station. Right now. Because a lot of officers, they know that when they sign the contract, hey, that an ex-officer is not going to talk on them. So you could be a good officer and see some bad stuff going on, you're not going to talk, because there is called a maternity. You know, bad officers in the force. There are many bad officers in the force. How much prison officers we see who are getting locked up for all kind of trying to smuggle marijuana or phone or money in prison. How many police officers we have seen involved in serious crimes? Or name squandering on Facebook. We have to be more respectful to one another. You know, we've seen officers kick down people's doors and stuff like that. I know you have to do your job. And to the citizens, you know, out there. And the police have a hard time too. Because, you know, we're close to 100 murders. The police have to be on their toes. So when they go to innocent poison house, they treat the innocent poison just like they treat the poison they're looking for who's wanted for a serious crime. You know? And that's when you become inhuman, because it's like, what is going on to the Princess Margaret Hospital? You know, mothers complaining about giving birth, not taken care of, you know, the bad conditions at the maternity ward, baby died. Mothers talking how they are. What is this? Talking how they live. The water bag and, oh Lord, inside them, you know, the lady baby died. She didn't even know till the following next day or so. Her baby died. She didn't know. Her baby was living, and then it died over a day or 2 days. And then she had to find out from somebody else. The morgue is full, you know, the dead body is. You know, people can't even identify their loved ones because how many bodies in the morgue, you know? There are so much things we have to do in this country. You know, and the dead should be treated with respect and get them in the ground quick as possible, because with this COVID-19, we're close to 100 murders and traffic fatalities and poison dying from, you know, regular ailments, cancer, and et cetera. You know, we need to find ways and how we could get people in the ground quick, fast, as possible, you know. These kind of things is getting me, because I could talk about these things. See the charges with the girl, young lady get, right? That's all the behavior, resisting arrest, and et cetera. Let me just talk for experience, like I said a little earlier. De-escalate the situation. And let me give you an example of what de-escalation situation means. And that's what officers need to learn to do. They need to go and train into de-escalate situation. All right? A few years ago, you know, I was repairing my restaurant, and this guy who lived across the road, named Mr. Johnson, asked me for some work. You know, mind you, know, I didn't say this guy is a problem, you know. I say anytime, you know. But I say, you know, I can't discriminate. Let me just see how I could help him best. So I say, okay. I had an ex, two young man was assisting me, and we were making some cement. So he had on some air flights, Jerry. So he took the air flights off, and he put them on my roof. And we, you know, I bought them lunch. You know, we had fun, a couple beers, you know, we was drinking. You know, they were smoking on the side, so I was laughing and stuff. You know, we was having quite a good time. So asked me the day when Jerry forget and left his tennis. And you know, he came back to me early that morning and he asked me, say, if I saw Stannis, you know, because he come back to work. So I said, you know, they're supposed to be right there. No one is moving nothing out of this yard. So he said, right. I said, you leave him up there. So he said, he leave him up there. So I said, they ain't there. He said, they ain't there. I said, boy, I ain't know where they going. So we look at one another. And we knew the only person who could move it. We already knew that. We in the community of instinct. You know, we could know thieves are. We know everyone in the community. That's just us. We just know everyone's personality. I mean, we move it, so we had no proof. So I really didn't get in it. So Jerry saw him earlier that day. And Jerry called him, said, man, because he come to work. So Jerry said, man, bro, you don't see my... I'm Dennis, I live there. So he said, no, man, I ain't see no Dennis, man. He said, man, what's greater, though? He said, man, you don't want to move on, man. You want to move on, no. Oh, daddy's school yard, man. You want to move on, school yard. You know? So when we hear that, we know that was dark. So anyway, we had no proof. Jerry had no proof. So we forget about it. So a day later, Jerry said, but this nigga get me Dennis, you know. I said, what you could do? He ain't rent him. He ain't sell him nobody. So Jerry said, he going upstairs. And they're going to see if he get them in the house, you know. When I look there, you walk across the road, jump over the wall. I look in. He going over the wall. When he going over the wall, he ran upstairs, knock on the door. The gentleman who Jerry suspect of moving to Dennis, his niece is there. And like I say, everyone in the community know one another. So when he come there, he asked his boy there. And then he got slick. He said, she's a boy, and I call his name. Sorry if you call his name. But anyway, he needed to call his name because a thief is a thief. And he said, yeah, yeah. So he said, tell me something, boy, tell me come get some tennis. Would he leave here for me? So he said, she said, yeah, he brought some tennis up. So Jerry said, let me see. So the little girl going right there. Bring the tennis out from inside those. Man, look, Jerry called him from the road, said, hey, tell you, get up. So he said, mother's sick, you see that? I said, you see that? So anyway, boy had to go on to the take lunch break. So when he come back now, Jerry get the tennis right there in the front of the cement. So when he see the tennis in the front of Jerry, he all out, oh, man, I find the poison heart tennis. Say, I find the poison heart tennis has can bring them to you. Jerry say, you think I could suffer? You know, and he curse, you know. So I was really hanging out my head, you know, because I, you know, I can't get in this kind of stuff. But I'm just a poison. I just changed my life. I come out of this life. So I have to, sometimes I just have to be a poison, be quiet and let it take its own course. And Jerry punched him in the mouth. So when Jerry punched him in the mouth, Jerry said, you supposed to be my boy, but we just eat lunch together. We smoke just now and we drink together. So Jerry punched him in the mouth. So when Jerry punched him in the mouth, he bang on the yard. So he stopped, made shame. And I said, boy, you're dead wrong, man, you know? So I said, Jerry, you ain't supposed to punch him, you see? Jerry said, man, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't take it, man, because this is my boy. You don't tell me, say, you ain't get a tennis. Oh, he started up the road. But Jerry, you this and that. I go into the man now. Nah. I go into the police now. Nah. And I can tell them, you robbed me. You know, that's what he's saying now. Just the guy who steal the tennis now. Nah. Not only because he get catch and he get punched in the mouth and he shame now. Nah. He go into the police on a guy who punched him in the mouth for stealing his tennis. So I look at Jerry, and we all know, innocent, it don't work like that. If somebody go make a report to the police right now about Valentino Brown in the studio, and the only way to get away is because the date and time and Wally in here, and the camera in here. If I have a problem with somebody there, they ever go to the station, officer? Scrooge, he pulled a gun on me. Or he tried to rob me. We have some compulsive, or some guys even say guys them rape them. We have some compulsive liars in this country. And many complaints you see go before the Royal Police Force is be a bunch of lies. It's be proven in court over and over when people rejuring their charges against poisons when it really come down to when you read the newspaper, you'd see. So he said, you're going to the police. So I said, but Jerry, let me tell you something. If he go to the police, I said, you better try to beat him to the station. I tell him this. I said, you better strike beat him in the station. If he reached that station, he put a complaint, say, you rob him. Right? They could come looking for you in full force. I said, man, think so? Man, I ain't worrying about it, man. I said, Jerry, listen to me. Man, I'm going to listen. I go and catch a fresh. I go and say, yeah, all right, then. I'm tired. Because that was too much for me. So I end up walking back inside my house. Now, man, you know, my gate and everything, my yard fence up. Okay. So, man, you know, I go and take a bath because I was mixing cement the whole day. And listen, I hear Jerry. I hear the patrol car, right? I'm coming, right? So I see Jerry. He come, he stand up the road, so he come by my bathroom window because, you know, my bathroom window was close to the outside. So he say, that is good. The police coming. I say, the police coming? I say, I tell you that. So he say, man, please, man, do me a favor, man. I can stay here. Just make sure they don't try to shoot me or beat me bad. Let him know what this nigga do to me. Man, tell him, boy, thief is tenants, and he punch him in his mouth. I didn't rob him. So boy has in the top. So I say, they on their way? So the gate was locked because my yard was during construction. So I had my yard fenced. My yard is completely fenced up. The only way to get in the yard if I allow you to get in the yard. So I tell Jerry, I say, man, I have some soap on my. I say, coming right now, man. So I had the soap on my. So I grab my towel. I say, let me wipe the soap on my. I ain't even got time to rinse the water off my. So I say, let me grab a towel. Right? Because he said, they outside by the gate. So I say, they're walking around the gate. So I say, what are they doing? He said, they're walking around the gate trying to get in. I say, man, let them in, man. I say, let them in. I say, just open the gate. Don't do nothing. Just don't run. I say, just open the gate. Now, 4 horses in the yard, 3 in the yard, I in my bathroom. So when I tell him open the gate, I didn't wipe off the towel. I had my singlet on. I was trying to buckle my pants. I was barefoot. So quick as I say, open the gate, I hear, everyone, get on up. You know, get on the F. No, you only say get on the F. Right? That's all I hear. That's all I hear. So I say, okay. Then I hear Jerry say, Daddy, come outside, please, man. Tell the officers. Because you could hear a little disturbance. Because it was like old police bus. Right? And a couple guards. So now I come to my back door. My back door wasn't locked. It was pulled too. Right? Because I had the drop cord running through the bottom of my door. So when I listen, I hear a knock on my door. Come with you. Bring your ass out. So I wondered if he talking to me. Because I am in my back door. Come out this house now. So when I push my door open, this police with this big 12 gauge shotgun in my face. Big 12 gauge in my yard. And I do nothing. Because someone going to the police and tell them someone robbed them. And they ain't do no investigation to find out the situation before they come with the way they come. Man, I tell you. So he get this big shotgun in my face. Nah, he's a guy. I changed my life. I trying to avoid all this. I trying to be a model citizen. Nah, look at ya. So he get this gun in my face. So I say, officer, what the problem is? You hear me? Come outside. So he come outside. No, he get his gun in my face. So I say, officer, I take my hand. I start to move the gun. Because, you know, I from the streets, and I was a real tough, rough guy. But in this instance, I glad I was tough and rough. Because if I wasn't tough and rough and couldn't defend myself and couldn't speak for myself, I could have been a dead man for nothing. Just for helping on the next citizen. All right? So I moved the shotgun. So when I moved the shotgun, you see, you touch the police gun. So he put the shotgun on the side, and I still in my door. He take his 2 hand, and he put it on my chest because I had a singlet on. And I said, strong guy. So when he put the hand on me, I put my hand on him. I said, what the problem is? So he tried to pull me out the door, and he couldn't move me because, you know, a little rookie like him could come around a guy like me. I tell you the story. This is a true story. So he used to stand still. So the next officer come, and he yuck my hand. And then after that, all hell break loose. Hey, how many people are telling you the truth and the word? All hell break loose. after that. You know, was I wrong? No. Was my friend wrong? No. So now I get about 7 or 8 police on me now. On the ground. The same one officer. They're crucifying me like that's crucifying Jesus. Two at my hand like this, Wally. Two at my hand like this. Two get my hand like this. Then the same officer who was in the newspaper, the Tribune newspaper. Him, 535, I always remember him. 535, I think it's 535. Him. This is the same time George Floyd, when the guy put the knee on him. All right? George Floyd? Or the one before that, whoever get the knee. I think it's George Floyd. Right. This officer, Wise, two officers get my hand. One inspector on my hand. One ex-constable on my hand. One ex-inspector this way. One ex-police officer this way. And one ex-one this way. This officer take his knee and put on my Adam's apple. And listen, I ain't black on you know. I know the effects and the pressure what he's putting on me. Now you can imagine my two-hand scratch. The two officers holding me this way, two holding me this way, one on my leg, and this officer, he get his knee on me. As God is my witness, Damon people. I use all my strength in my body to just push my hand up and push this officer off of me. And then for some strange reason, when the neighborhood people got it, because you brought them the community leader now. So you get hundreds of people come outside hearing what's happening. And then they start to tell the officers, tell the inspectors, what y'all doing? No, that one who stand up there, who y'all come with, he lied. He is the one who thiefed that one tennis and they was working by Valentino. And Valentino was telling y'all that he is the one who caused the problem. And Jerry, when he punched him in his mouth. Now they didn't get me now. Watch this. Now they didn't get me now. Now they hearing all this now. But we hadn't gone so far, whereas they offend me. Now I break the law. So now I see them whispering. The inspectors then. Say, boy, we made a mistake. Say, this one here is the one who thieved the guy, Dennis. He's the one who come to the station and report that this guy here robbed him. But the people say there's witness and they watch the guy punch him in his mouth and he run to the station. They all witness this. Say, what we could do? He said, what we could do? We got to charge him. So I get charged. Me. I get charged with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, obscene language, and one other charge. And I end up in Central Police Station. And when I end up in Central Police Station, the same officer who offended me, he tell me in the station, he tell me in the station, say, yeah, carry on like how you effort, carry on, excuse my language, how you carry on the way you carry on out there. He don't know me. So you just going in the force. I used to live in the station. The station was my home. Central Police Station was my home. And then, this the good part about it. He come to me now, in the back. My cousin was an officer standing up right there. He didn't even know the officer on the side. It's my cousin. But he come to me in the station. Yeah. The way you carry around that tense, how you try fight me and carry on like that, like you some kind of Superman, try it now. You know, they look at him and say, it's the officer. Say, he'd slap my head off and he'd do this. I say, officer, let me tell you something. And I can tell you this. I say, if you put your hand on me, my brother, I'd eat you alive in you. So when I say that, the whole police station come to try do me in. Mind you now. Because they hear me tell the officer, if he put his hand on me, I say, I would do him right in. So I can't defend myself. I supposed to be locked up by handcuff, but I'm getting threatened from an officer when he'd slap me, and he'd do this to me, and he'd do that to me. But no one hear that. But all they want hear is what I say. So this officer, Monroe, that's a real police officer. I think this was the second or third year he was at Central Police Station. And this officer was just on the park a few days ago when we had an event where the Rotary Club, the Rotaract, where they was present. We had the Defense Force, we had the police, and he was right there present. And he said, you did all this, and that's me. 2 days prior after, just did a whole weekly event with the Royal Bombers Police Force, the Royal Bombers Defense Force, and many different organizations. And he remembered me. Because it was Central Police officers who worked the day shift. They were the ones who were partnershiping with me in the community at the same time. So when he look at me, and I say, you see all the officers come down, try and do me in. You know, like they gathering around me. Right? Because I ain't been locked up for a long time. But this is my home. So he stated, it's Monroe. I think his name is Kelsey. I can't remember his name. But anyways, his name, he was a Monroe. I could always remember Mr. Monroe. He is a real officer. He didn't keep his mouth closed and go with the status quo where he's saying he's sticking up for his buddy. He said, that young man, right. He threatened a young man. This officer said, this officer Monroe, right in Central Police Station. If I lie in this date and time I got locked up, it's still in the record. Everything is in the record. Everything is in record. What I'm saying now is in record. I was locked up at Central Police Station a certain year, daytime, right there, officer on duty, and you'll see Manuel, his name is on duty. And he stood up for me. And he said, yeah. Say, yeah, man, the officer threatened him. He didn't threaten the officer. He threatened the officer after the officer threatened him. Now, here's the thing. Now, there's always a senior officer on duty. And like I tell you, they called me once a week, man. And everyone know me. I always lock up every week. If it's 375 days, 300, how much days of the week? I lock up. In January, I lock up 1 week. February, I lock up. March, I lock up. April, I lock up all sort of different crime. All right? So, when he said that's right, and they were surrounding me, there was an officer who was in charge of the desk. I think he was a Monroe, too. And he knew me from when I was a tough gangster. And he know I changed my life by being a community Thingam. And when he look, he say, Scoochie, screw it. He say, no. What y'all gonna do? Now all I'm gonna want, do me in. So he say, no, man. He said, what happened? I said, man, no disrespect to the officers in here. But I said, this officer, yeah, he don't need to be on the force. Yeah. Now when he see everything switch on him now, and all officers start to switch all their talk now because they say, this Scooch is the big man. Y'all don't know what this is. They say, this is the man. This guy changed. This no man. I'm proud of this guy. I didn't know that was you when you come in. If I know that was you because you look so young now because, you know, I used to be all plaid up and all beady up and et cetera. So he didn't really know that was me. So when he heard a name, he said, man, come on, man. So he tell the officer, you go in the bar. So he tell me, say, we still have to charge you. But we jubilee spirit. You see, so I was able to come out that day. But look at all that. And thousands of our citizens go through that, you know, on a regular basis. And then you have good officers like Monroe. And then you have good officers like the senior officers, you know. So we need to hold all these officers accountable. And I think the Minister of National Security is doing a great job of explaining, you know, letting you know your rights. You know, people are saying it's what? They're saying is he shouldn't be doing it. Why shouldn't he be doing it? And he making us at ease and feel that we are worthy to be human now, we're being respected. You know? He is educating us, the Minister of National Security. He's letting you know what I can do and what I cannot do, but what you can do as a citizen. He letting you know that even though you could be before the courts, that if your rights are violated, you still can file a complaint, you know? And he's put investigation in certain matters. And this is the kind of country we want where he's putting the Bahamian people first, you know? And I think he's doing an awesome job on many fronts as the new Minister of National Security. I want to commend him, you know, because he's talking about all the little small important stuff. You know, he wants officers held accountable. He's telling the general public what you can do and what, you know, and that is good. So all in all, I'm saying to you is this. We need to train our officers to de-escalate the situation. Because yes, our citizen, we are violent. That girl, she could have been cursing the police, far as they're concerned. But that still don't give the officer no right to go and put his hand on him, especially if the girl was innocent and she was just a passerby. And then because the officer felt that he has all the power to invade anyone's freedom and rights, to approach and demand and expect no one as a human being to say, no, you can't get my phone and you can't lock me up. For what? What you lock me up for? And then on his end, what you mean lock me up for? And then he would, just to prove a point, which is abuse, he would go to the extent as to put his hand on the female. No, we need to change this in this country. You know, we just saw a prisoner, okay, died at the Bahamas Correctional Center. These things have been going on for many years in the country. All right? And the report states that his mom, you know, just because her son was having a lapse means that he was kind of freaking out, so she thought she did the right thing by calling in the police. By calling in the police, he was admitted to prison when he was supposed to be at San Lynch Rehabilitation Center. He went to prison. And now they're saying that he has blunt force trauma, means that he was put in prison on the injuries. They can't say it's murder until the autopsy is done, according to the Minister of National Security. But they're saying that bruises was on the body, which indicates that some type of physical altercation happened. And you can imagine someone who is not stable, put in an environment where you have guys charged with numerous offenses who themselves are very mad, and they take it out on persons like that, because persons like that are vulnerable. You know, now he passed. His mom says she regret even going to the police, and then for him being admitted in prison. And then if we look at the matter a few months ago, where the young gentleman who shot the shotgun on the, who ran from the police, and then the police them kill him in his yard. They stated that it was abandoned. See, in this situation, you can de-escalate the situation. Our officers need to be trained to de-escalate the situation instead of escalating the situation. And that's why we're having millions and millions of dollars of damages being paid out to be human citizens, who me and you as taxpayers are going to have to pay the price. You know? Yeah, so if you want to call it and have a conversation, you can call at 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. We take a break. Do not go away. We'll be back on Inside the Inner City.
Ain't no love, and it's sure not forbidden. There ain't no love, cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good, cause you love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love, and it sure is a pity. Ain't no love, cause you ain't around.
Our free pick, pack, delivery service gives everyone in the Family Islands a chance to shop a variety of club products and prices right from home. Simply call or WhatsApp your order to 242-677-7266 or email order at amlfoods.com. A friendly customer service representative is waiting to pick, pack, and deliver your order to the mailboat of your choice. The options are truly endless, and with membership, you save even more. So order today and let Costrite pick, pack, and deliver right to you.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs a short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Print Masters. Print Masters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Life is always better with a little extra cash. At Solomon's, we know that every penny saved is a penny toward more happy times with those you love. With super savings in every aisle and budget-pleasing buys every time you shop, you can get closer to that family vacation you've been dreaming about. Go on, earn that new air fryer in produce. Snag that Exuma getaway with your cereal. Rawson Square Junkanoo tickets, aisle 7 just restocked. Bring it all together at Solomon's, where you can save more and live better.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
We're back on Guardian Radio, and I would like to say a very good night to all the listeners. Tonight is education night for those who listen out there. And this is for every Bahamian who live in the Bahamas, because this could happen to any one of you guys. And we need to find a way on how we could hold our officers accountable. We see here where the Office of the Prime Minister is looking to put a committee together at ways of stopping government liabilities for brutality against its citizens. Okay? So it's a loss situation for us, because I'm a Bahamian. I'm going to sue the police, right? And when I sue the police, I'm going to get a lawsuit. And when I get the lawsuit, I mean law settlement, when I get the settlement, who pays for it? Who wins? I win because I get my two teeth knocked out, which rightfully I deserve it, right? But it's me, you, and everyone else who are paying their wallet out of taxes who's going to pay this payment. You know, what is going to happen to the officer? He's going out there again to be rogue again and then cost us more money in the near future. So they need to be held accountable. And this committee needs to understand that. I think the Commissioner of Police, the Minister of National Security, he needs to take this here. Let me just read it one more time. He needs to take this here and put this on the bulletin board at police headquarters in all departments, especially mobile, to the CID, to DEU, and to all officers who are hardcore, means hardcore, they're going after hard criminals, and then sometimes they go at civilians. Most times they go to civilians who are innocent, and most civilians press charges, you know. The criminals don't get their teeth knocked out, you know. The innocent persons get their teeth knocked out, who get locked up for disorderly resisting arrest and et cetera. But the guys who are hardened criminals, you know, they don't get their teeth knocked out, you know. innocent people get their teeth knocked out, as evident today in the newspapers recently, because we are seeing where two persons who were accosted by police officers in their duties, performing their duties, come to find out these persons are innocent and that the officers are wrong and held liable. So that means the commission is wrong. So what that tells you? What it tells you? It tells you that we have a serious problem. Because the commissioner of police passed, when I was saying earlier, he stated that it's what you give us from out the community. And I'm talking about the incident where you saw the police lined up those young men at downtown, Bank of the Bahamas, a few years ago, I think 2 years ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. And he said, that's what you give us. So what you expect? Okay, we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
That's it, Scoochie.
Go ahead.
I see, but that's up. Yeah, man. I like to hear these kind of stories, but, you know, firstly, Scoochie, I really have to give hats off to Mr. Mayan Runwell, right?
Yes.
Who I don't know, right? But he represented some of my boys in them time there. But, you know, like, we could, you know, 57, right, Scoochie?
Yes, sir.
In the 80s, when I was working in the council of the Palace Island, I used to run the sun as a young man because I used to play ball, you know, I kind of taller. So I used to run the sun in the 12 o'clock sun just to see what stamina I have, right? So that's how I get to know Tyon. He used to work to the golf course, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me and him saw a little meditation. We just get cool. And then we found a reason to go to Zanzibar together. So
mm-hmm.
Tyon, you know, I used to be with them by them to 8th Street a long time. And we were right being true. And a lot of people used to take me for Bruce Sayers. I know you remember Bruce Sayers to be a tear with them, so I get a little problems to choose some little things and that, and then they end up, they lock you up. One time they charged me for attempted murder and armed robbery, but because me and Bruce look alike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce them, but it was, you know, that's how it goes. So they don't really do no
investigation.
They exclude you, but once they call your name, yeah, that's my
that's
man's
it.
Son, right? Ray, Ray, Ray.
That's it.
Now, Scoochie, me and you could go back from Chris Cullman in the cell at Central, right?
Yes.
You listening, right?
Yeah.
And then we could go back to your boy, Don Marley, them people, them, the Rasta boy by the canal, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then we could go down to the boy in the cell by the group, the contemporary. But I mean, you know, like,
yes.
The thing never stops. So, you know, the ghetto youth feel the pain. And so, you know, I'm able to articulate, but, you know, there's a lot of things I wouldn't even mention, but, you know, we could go back in time, right? And talk with the infringement on human rights and basically, you know, that's going to be 2007. Some of the things I didn't get to talk about, but I remember they were shooting at me. They say, well, but it wasn't even me, you know, because I was wearing a raincoat. The person I remember on the radio as they came to the station, the person they was looking for was wearing a yellow raincoat. I wearing a blue Columbia raincoat. But here, yeah, these two jokers, them, pull a gun on me, going into one store on East Street, like around Anders Avenue. Uh-huh. So I break off running because I had some little piece of weed on me, a couple of joints, right? They tried to kill me for that. And they choked me to death trying to get the joint out of my mouth, Scoochie. Fractured my wishbone. I had to actually physically fight them off in order to breathe. The thing stuck in my throat. They choking me like I killed someone. I laying in the puddle of water. These people don't care about you, you know. This is what I be, you know, this is only one instance. I wouldn't even talk about what I have seen with my own eyes. And so the last administration, well, me and Renault is the best minister of national security ever, right?
Yeah, already.
They didn't come out with me, but, you know, I hear me saying I really never voted for the PLP, right?
Yeah.
But if they keep this up, I can have no other choice but to vote for them.
Yeah, they look
at see, I don't play hate the nigga Tom, but I hear someone make a comment that 50-52 sound like he's a PLP. Like I say, big man, I be on letters of the alphabet. I don't really lean on no side. I go with the, you know what I'm saying?
You're going
like,
with what
like
you say is right.
Like Dr. Gilbert Moore say, you change your mind in motion. I don't have a constant mind makeup. My mind is based on information, and information changes. Because this is the information overload. It's the same thing with the science. They're controlling the science, and they're controlling the narrative. So as I sit and I listen to you talk about all the different lawsuits and all that, you know, one of the things that I remembered was the doctor told me that he ain't coming to court to testify against the police and Ray and all that. I had the report. I carried the complaint unit. It went into oblivion, as they are consistent with.
What is oblivion? What is oblivion?
Forgetfulness. Instead of forgetfulness, that's just it. That's what it just went. You understand? That's all it was. That's what you mean, you know, I've been searched. They got my money in their hand. They wouldn't give me back my money, you know, until they told, boy, we can get you. You know, we can get you. I mean, what are you talking about? But I left my money short. So these are kind of things. And so the last administration is a failure because, Scoochie, they failed to implement cameras to guarantee me and your rights, which could exclude the police officers
yes.
in case someone's trying
yes.
to harm them.
Yes,
I've had an officer, One time I was going to work, you know, I ride in a $50,000 Cedric, right? Or $40,000 Cedric. They, my hair ain't comb. I wake in an engineer and they say, where you get this car from? They pull me off Wolf Road. I got, must be like a bag of weed or so. You know, that's like probably a couple of joints. I end up eating I eat most of it.
Were you like the eating?
They scrape it up. So I had a fight with the officer because that's too little, but I knock it out so that the breeze blow it away. So he tell me, man, I tell you, what, hold this man, hold this man, because he leave me a big bed. Nigga rush across the road. With a 338 knocked me straight up my leg and my temple, straight on the ground for a giant, for a couple of little giant of years.
Giant the body, bro.
They would have killed me, bro. So that's what it is. So, you know, we got to humanize this situation. But, yeah, my man is the best ever. They can get mad with me, but that's what I see.
It's all right.
Yeah, bless up. Give time. Yeah, keep up the weight, so don't give up, man.
No, man.
You see, they're trying to fight me down, right?
They can't fight you down because now you
see. Some ignoramus, very docile, subservient sheep. Well, I mean, I curse with knowledge and some foolishness. How you can be cursed with knowledge if you're sharing it freely?
Don't worry about them.
No, you know I ain't worrying about them. I studied the art of not making pull in the blanks.
You don't worry about them, man. You're
come
keeping,
on,
you're
I keep don't even know where you come from, you know. I be into, and you know, my pa used to be in CID for all them years, so they glad to say, just Mr. So-and-so son. I didn't watch him come up there and read a plane him and show me what some of them all about, too, you know. All you see what I'm saying? And then never come up there before because they try to pin something on me. Then all my family members know his home. So that's how life go, bro. So we, me and you know these situations. Give thanks, though. Spread the way. Don't give up in the road. Long life, health, and strength, man. Bless.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I see my friend Marco getting his promotions, spectacle, all that, you know. And he represents what an officer what's supposed to be. You know, he's a community-minded officer. He don't abuse his power, you know what I mean? He uses discretion, you know? And that's the kind of system we want in place, you know? We have to change our system. We're too violent. The police can't be violent, and me as a citizen be violent. And like I said again, I'm just saying this. That girl could have been in the wrong, you know? She could have been cursing the police as far as we're concerned, you know, telling them this and telling them that, and then he got mad, and then he used his force. But either way, we supposed to be able to learn how to de-escalate situation in the country. We don't have to be like this big state, like America and stuff, man. Come on, man. It's the Bahamas. It's the greatest place in the world. You understand? There's no one who could threaten us. The only threat we are is threat to ourselves right now. Please, on to the citizen. I could see if I be aggressive, you know? Like, you know, I run the red light. The police come pull me over. You know, I try to get away. And when they try put me to stop, and they tell me, say, freeze, don't move, and I make a move towards them. I said, hell with all of y'all, and I make a run towards them, and I behave in this all in my, I deserve all the cut-ass I get. Sorry about that. I deserve everything I get, you know, because the officer done tell me, I done run the red light, I done wrong, okay? Now he's trying to arrest me, and now I trying to evade arrest. Charging an officer. So them being aggressive, like the way they being aggressive with that lady, then the officer could be aggressive with the gentleman who drives irregular, runs the red light. Yes, we could see the aggressiveness for that. We could all understand that. What do you say, Wally? We could understand that. Or someone shooting at the police and they try it out. Yeah, all the beating you get, we could live with that because, of course, automatically, but remember you're seeing these kind of stuff, a young girl, getting heisted from the police, gentlemen getting their teeth knocked out, and come to find out they are right. You know, they're put before the court, they win their case, you know. They're right. So we need to learn how to de-escalate the situation. We all be immense here, you know. I hope the Minister of National Security and the Commissioner of Police, you know, look at this lawsuit, put this lawsuit up in the control room and say to ourselves, the Bahamian people ain't playing no more. They're paying their water out of tax. This is not the 90s no more, where you could just go and put your hands on the police. Because I was trying to figure out something. Wally, you was the producer. Okay, Wally. If I put my hand on you, Wally, right, Wally? And I slap you, or I try to grab you, and you go to the police. That's assault, right? So that's for any citizen. That's supposed to be across the board. That's assault. So once you go to the station, I put my hands on you and I hit you in your face and you say, okay, I go into the law. And they say, yeah, you go to the law. So when you go to the law, you're right. So the police come and they lock me up. They charge me with assault based on the evidence you give them, right? I get charged with assault. Why is it that when the police do with a citizen, that they're not charged with assault, especially if they're wrong. It can't be one way. See, this though. You charge me for assault. Assaulting my girlfriend, assaulting my auntie, assaulting. But when the police assault me or you, when you just asking the question and they assault you, why is it they don't get charged or put before the board? Listen, that maternity thing needs to stop. There are secrets goes on where a police officer can't talk on the police officer. Whether you're right or wrong. If he sees something goes on wrong, whether in the station, because a lot of people get brutalized in the station. And let me reiterate this again. There are many officers in the station who do not get themselves involved. But it's a system in place. They have to stand up and watch. And only the very brave, like Mr. Monroe, who stood up to the officer when he tried to threaten me and I threatened him, and he stood up and said, no, the officer wrong. There are only a few officers who have the nerve to tell their colleagues, you're wrong. Stop beating up gentlemen. He done lock up, right? He done lock up. So why are you putting your hand on him? Huh? Don't you know I could put you up on charges for assault? He's in the station. He is our responsibility now. Do not put your hand on none of the prisoners. Now, if the prisoner behaving wildly or carrying on bad in the station, then yes, we have to reprimand him. But we can give it's a cause for us to reprimand him. But not because you have the power to do it. No one needs to stop. And I'm a wise citizen. If you're approached by officers and you're a law-abiding citizen and they approach you in the wrong manner and they assault you, file your complaint. File your complaint is the only way we're going to stop this in the country, because this is the Bahamas. And there are many great officers out there who I love personally, who looks out for me, and I'm doing this for my country because I've been in a situation that I've seen over the years. No one could tell me nothing. You know, police on the force could tell me nothing different. No commissioner of police who dare could tell me what's going on in the station or what's going on this. None of them. Because I have first-hand experience. I've been watching commissioners come and go. And they used to send guys to lock me up. And I'm still here. Just like I watch Prime Minister, how I work with Sir Lyndon. Then I work with Perry Christie. I watch B.K. Barnaby Jr. come. Paul Foxon come and go. And all them come and go. And all them know me personally when I was a street guy. So that should show you my life experience. So no one can tell me nothing. What I'm telling y'all is the most reliable information you could get in nowhere else in the country. Because what I speak is the truth. Never come on this radio and lie to you about nothing. Nothing. Anything you see come in my mouth is the truth. Because I'm not a liar. And anyone knows me, I'm a man of my word, and I'm not a liar. Anyone knows me from out on the street, they can tell you I'm not a liar. And I'm a man of my word. And when I speak my word, what goes on those station behind closed doors? Dog. Dog citizen. What goes on in those station needs to be looked in. We need a board to be protecting the prisoners. I'm calling me. I sit on the radio. All right, then, if you want to go live, let me give you the number real quick. Sorry for that the interruption. Listen closely, good. 323-6232. 323-6232. Or 325-4316. You can call now because you got about 2 more minutes. So make it quick. All right. Yes. So what goes on the station? This is not a talk on the police. This is not a talk on the government. This is how we need to fix our country. Because those people we take advantage of in the prison and in the station, they turn out to be very violent young men because of the abuse they get in the station. And that's how I got rough and tough, because when I saw what was happening to other inmates and other persons locked up and police was taking advantage of them, and I got my few cut hip when I first started as a rookie. But as I grew and get accustomed to the station, get used to getting locked up, and etc., I became immune. I became against the system. So I had a love inside the station. Not say I like to get locked up, but I was used to it. And what happens sometimes, we make guys rough and tough. And we, what we call, we institutionalize them. And that, and box fires on us, because now they're not afraid of the police no more. They went to prison, they get it treated badly. Now when they go to prison, they get extra book smart, extra prison smart, then they come back on the streets with that. And it causes a lot of problem for us. So we got to be very careful how you treat people in prison, I mean in the station. You got to be careful how we keep them in the detention center, because they are humans just like us. And sometimes we are the ones who turning people into monsters. And we becoming inhumane. You know, people are innocent and proven guilty. And yes, you know, but we need to revamp the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we need to teach officers how to de-escalate situation instead of just using brute force when it's not necessary. Use that when someone is robbing a store. Use that when we know that this person just took a life and they're giving a car chase. We have no problem with that. But using on me and Wally and regular citizens who don't have a criminal record, who don't even know how, Wally don't even know how the station look. Some of these guys said, Wally said, you know the station, you ever been in the station? So what happened to you if you go in the station right now? You probably die because you claustrophobic, you know? So why? You know, not because everyone has a picky ear means that they are some type of top-notch criminal or you have to be aggressive towards them. Come on, man, this is the Bahamas. Mr. Monroe, right now, based on the topics you've been discussing and the things you're looking at investigation, you're telling the officers you don't want to hear no excuse, you want them where they are, the camera's on and et cetera, and you don't want no excuse. These are the things we want from the Ministry of National Security. Now, I wonder if the officers are going to listen to you. I wonder if they're going to know that it's okay for citizens to use their phone to record. You know? And you can't even talk to our police officers. Even if you get a traffic offense, some of the officers you can't even talk to. And you're having a simple call, also, I'm running the red light. The officer tell you, or you park on the side of the road. You say, well, officer, you know, this and that. They ain't hear nothing. It's just, why we all be immense? And look what it costs us, millions of dollars. What are you going to pay this, you know? Everyone is going to pay this. Everyone is going to pay this. Let me see this here. Oh. Okay. Kelsey Monroe, yes, that's the officer. Kelsey Monroe, this is a real police officer, and this is what I respect us off. This is the one who stand up. That officer was Kelsey Monroe. Somebody just texted me this. His name was Kelsey Monroe. That's the one who stand up for me inside the station. He said, no. He threatened him first. And that's what I'm talking about. And he is a real police officer. I respect him. That's why I'm so glad I remember him. Thank you so much for sending this name to me, you know? I'm so happy that you sent me this name. Kelsey Monroe, yes. He is a real police officer. You know, for officer to stand up for you in the station, man. He owed rank. And he was a rookie cop. And I respect him for that. I'd also give a shout out to my good friend, Senior Assistant Commissioner of Police, Austin Greenslade. I also give a shout out to my good friend, BK Barnaby June. I don't know if he's superintendent. I want to give a shout-out to Assistant Commissioner of Police, Solomon Cash. I want to give a shout-out to former Assistant Commissioner, Douglas Hanna, who's my good friend, former Superintendent of Police, my good friend, Warry Sanders. And to all those old senior officers, I'd like to give a shout-out to my good friend, Marco, who will soon be an inspector on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'd also like to give a shout-out to my cousin, Corporal Quentin Brennan. And to all the good officers out there. And I just want them to understand, we have to teach our officers to de-escalate. And I'd like to give the commissioner a word of advice. Take this fine against the police, which is among the millions and millions of dollars. Put this in the control room and tell your officers this is what happened to the Bahamian people. If you approach them wrong, they are reporting the matter and it's costing us And we need to put a stipulation, put something together that if the officers themselves are the ones responsible and get found guilty, take it out of their paycheck. And they won't do it no more because that's the only way. Take it out of their paycheck. The fine that they're going to pay for assaulting that person, let them know now that if you do it and you get brought before the courts and you get bring guilty for liabilities against a Bahamian citizen, that it come with your paycheck. We're not going to fire you. We're going to take it with your paycheck, and that's the only way we're going to stop. Let all officers be held responsible. Until the Minister of National Security, keep up the good work. And to my brother, Wally, for doing an outstanding job on Guiding Radio. And to all the listeners, I want to say a very thank you. I hope you were educated on the show tonight. Okay? So, without further ado, drive safe, and we'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9. Enjoy.
And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love.